The Old Testament reading is from the book of Ruth, chapter 1, verses 1 through 19a. In the days when the judges ruled, there was a famine in the land, and a man of Bethlehem in Judah went to sojourn in the country of Moab, he and his wife and his two sons. The name of the man was Elimelech, and the name of his wife Naomi. And the names of his two sons were Mahlon and Chilion. They were Ephrathites from Bethlehem in Judah. They went into the country of Moab and remained there. But Elimelech, the husband of Naomi, died, and she was left with her two sons. These took Moabite wives. The name of the one was Orpah, and the name of the other Ruth. They lived there about 10 years, and both Mahlon and Chilion died, so that the woman was left without her two sons and her husband. Then she arose with her daughters-in-law to return from the country of Moab, for she had heard in the fields of Moab that the Lord had visited his people and given them food. So she set out from the place where she was with her two daughters-in-law, and they went on the way to return to the land of Judah. But Naomi said to her two daughters-in-law, "Go, return each of you to her mother's house. May the Lord deal kindly with you, as you have dealt with the dead and with me. The Lord grant that you may find rest, each of you, in the house of her husband." Then she kissed them, and they lifted up their voices and wept. And they said to her, "No, we will return with you to your people." But Naomi said, "Turn back, my daughters. Why will you go with me? Have I yet sons in my womb that they may become your husbands? Turn back, my daughters. Go your way, for I am too old to have a husband. If I should say I have hope, even if I should have a husband this night and should bear sons, would you therefore wait till they were grown? Would you therefore refrain from marrying? No, my daughters, for it is exceedingly bitter for me, for your sake, that the hand of the Lord has gone out against me." Then they lifted up their voices and wept again. And Orpah kissed her mother-in-law, but Ruth clung to her. And she said, "See, your sister-in-law has gone back to her people and to her gods. Return after your sister-in-law." But Ruth said, "Do not urge me to leave you or to return from following you. For where you go, I will go, and where you lodge, I will lodge. Your people shall be my people, and your God my God. Where you die, I will die, and there will I be buried. May the Lord do so much to me and more also, if anything but death parts me from you." And when Naomi saw that she was determined to go with her, she said no more. So the two of them went on until they came to Bethlehem. And when they came to Bethlehem, the whole town was stirred because of them. And the women said, "Is this Naomi?" This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The epistle reading is from 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 through 13. "Then you, my child, be strengthened by the grace that is in Christ Jesus, and what you have heard from me in the presence of many witnesses, entrust to faithful men, who will be able to teach others also. Share in suffering as a good soldier of Christ Jesus. No soldier gets entangled in civilian pursuits, since his aim is to please the one who enlisted him. An athlete is not crowned unless he competes according to the rules. It is the hardworking farmer who ought to have the first share of the crops. Think over what I say, for the Lord will give you understanding in everything. Remember Jesus Christ, risen from the dead, the offspring of David, as preached in my gospel, for which I am suffering, bound with chains as a criminal. But the word of God is not bound. Therefore, I endure everything for the sake of the elect, that they also may obtain the salvation that is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. The saying is trustworthy, for if we have died with him, we will also live with him. If we endure, we will also reign with him. If we deny him, he also will deny us. If we are faithless, he remains faithful, for he cannot deny himself. This is the word of the Lord.
The good news according to St. Luke, the 17th chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. On the way to Jerusalem, he was passing along between Samaria and Galilee. And as he entered a village, he was met by 10 lepers, who stood at a distance and lifted up their voices, saying, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." When he saw them, he said to them, "Go and show yourselves to the priests." And as they went, they were cleansed. Then one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back, praising God with a loud voice. And he fell on his face at Jesus' feet, giving him thanks. Now he was a Samaritan. Then Jesus answered, "Were not 10 cleansed? Where are the 9? Was no one found to return and give praise to God except this foreigner?" And he said to him, "Rise and go your way. Your faith has made you well." This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Praise my soul, the King of heaven. To his feet your tribute bring. Ransomed, healed, restored, forgiven. Evermore his praises sing. Alleluia, alleluia. Praise the everlasting King. This is the first line of that hymn we just sang, and is a perfect connection to our gospel reading, seeing the one who returns to Jesus, praising him and thanking him for the true healing he's received, and how we are in that same place. You all look pretty great for having recently been healed from leprosy. Good job. Of course, we're not directly in his place. You have not recently been lepers, but we understand the same sentiment. Coming to worship our God, our King who loves us, who has saved us from something even far greater than leprosy. Through our gospel reading, we see just how great it is to have a saving faith in Jesus, which heals us to our most inner being. It begins in Luke 17, verse 11, with, "On the way to Jerusalem." Jesus is on his way to give up his life for the whole world, to die for you and for me because we are sinners. He's on his way to do something pretty important. And like always, he enters a new city and people want to stop him. "But could you take care of our problem first, though, please?" They don't understand what's about to happen. No one really does. Only Jesus does at this point. Everyone else, even his disciples who have heard various times that he's going to have to give up his life for them, they don't truly understand what's going on. But he's on his way to do it. He's heading to Jerusalem. He's got his face set before this path. That was about 5-6 weeks ago. We had talked about how he had set his face on what he was going to do. He's going to Jerusalem. He's going to die for the sins of the whole world. And yet, as these people call out and say, "But help us with our earthly problem that we have right now," he doesn't say, "Sorry, busy, got some important work to do, I've got to take off." He spends at least even just a brief moment with them. He shows great care for their physical being, and at the end of the story, they are miraculously healed. But he's on his way to do this big thing, and that's going to matter, that phrase, "he's on the way," I promise, it'll make sense. To help this, I'll give you a Greek word that I'll use again later. You'll know when it comes up that way. The word for this comes from the Greek word poruomai. It sounds like "poor you am I." It doesn't make sense, but poruomai is this word. He's on the way. He's going to go do this. Now, as they're saying this, in verse 13, they lift up their voices saying, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." For those who were suffering with leprosy, their whole body, skin and insides, is basically falling apart. Lifting up their voices does not mean yelling loudly for everyone to hear. they're doing it as loud as they can. They're lifting their voice. It's that same sound you get when you've lost your voice and you're trying really hard to be heard. You know, this never happens, but if, say, a parent was trying to correct their children and they don't have a voice, that never happens in our home. I don't know about yours. But if there's ever a time when you're trying to correct the children and your voice is not quite there, and you're trying really, hey, knock it off, you're trying to call out to them. You've got these lepers saying, Jesus, please help us, as loud as they can, forcing it, straining it as best they can. Remember, Jesus is on his way to Jerusalem. There have been many people who've seen his miracles out in the surrounding communities who have made their way to Jerusalem also to head into the temple. These lepers will have heard from people on the road these stories of this man named Jesus who is miraculously healing people, doing things that show he's got to be from God. They think maybe, just maybe, he can also heal us. I've heard him do it for other people. He's given sight back to the blind. He's helped people walk who haven't walked their whole lives. Maybe he can do it for us. They lift up their voices, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. When he saw them, he said to them, go and show yourselves to the priests. This is a connection to what anyone with leprosy was supposed to do if they were to receive cleansing. Back in Leviticus, back in the Old Testament, God had given various laws, including for those who have leprosy. You are to be on the outside perimeter of God's people. You are not to go into your community. You are now in exile. You don't get to be in the temple. You don't get to be with your family, with your friends. Your only community are the other lepers. That's it. And yet, if somehow you were to receive cleansing, or if you were to pray and ask for it, you could present yourself to the priests, and you might be welcomed back into the community. Now, Jesus just tells these people. He doesn't say, okay, yep, you're going to be healed. They're saying, Jesus, Master, help us. Okay, go present yourself to the priests. Well, hold on, we're not supposed to go into the town. How am I supposed to do that, Jesus? Just go do it. Okay. To be in their position, they're putting themselves in kind of harm's way here. Okay, I'm supposed to go find the priests. I'm just going to walk into town. Me, the leper. Leper Jesse, please don't stone me and kick me back out of the town again. Just walking in to go see the priests. To say, please check me out. Make sure I'm cleansed. Make sure I'm healed. And as they went, or as poruesthai, this is the word poruamai again, as they went, they were cleansed. In the going on the same way that Jesus was going, walking in the path that he was walking, remember, Jesus is on the way to Jerusalem. Now they are on the way, going to where Jesus has pointed them to, and they are healed. This is not just something that we should throw away. Oh, yeah, of course, you use the same word. It's not even translated the same way for us in our English translations here. Jesus is on the way to save the whole world in Jerusalem. Put yourself on the way, and you will be healed. John has Jesus saying, I am the way and the truth and the life. Being in the way, in fact, is what Christians were originally said to have been. We call ourselves Christian nowadays, those who follow Jesus. That was originally used as a derogatory term. Oh, you Christians, you people who believe that Jesus is the Christ. Puh, that doesn't make any sense. Yeah, we'll call you Christians. Hey, that's a great idea. We don't have to pay a marketing team. We'll call ourselves Christians. Thanks, guys. Not half bad. We call ourselves a name that the world originally meant to be a bad thing. But the name that those who followed Christ first had were to be followers of the way. Now, the Greek word that Jesus used was hodas. Sounds similar to another name I heard recently. I had to share it. Thank you. But that idea of being in the way, on the way, following the same path that Jesus took, running the same race that he's already won for us, being in one who follows Jesus. This is a thing we've heard time and again throughout Scripture, throughout your lives, hopefully. We follow Christ, we follow Jesus, and we receive healing as we continue to follow after Jesus Christ, as we continue to follow our Savior, walk the path our Savior trod. We receive healing. And much like the leper who was an outsider, not just as a leper, but not even as a Jewish man, he's a Samaritan, this super outsider, who's received healing on the way of Jesus, returns and falls at his feet, which is a form of worship. He praises him and he thanks him. Falling on his face, he says with a loud voice, not just a lifted voice, not just a straining voice, even his voice is now healed. With a loud voice, the Greek word for that sounds a lot like megaphone, actually. So with a megaphone voice, he's praising God, praising Jesus. When we receive healing, true healing, the only response is worship, falling at the feet of Jesus, praising him and thanking him for all that he's done for us. That word, poor you am I, it's fun to just play around with things. Poor you and I, we'll make it that way. Poor you and I, we are sinners who are told to follow on the way of Jesus, to walk in the path he trod, to set our face towards Jerusalem, to pick up our own cross and to follow him, to die to self that we might live, that others might know of God's great love for all of us. On the way, following Jesus, you are healed. God continues to give us excitement and joy for that, that we would praise and honor him in the hopes that more people would hear our voice, a loud voice, a megaphone voice, praising God for all that he's done for us. The healing is not always a physical one. God does choose to sometimes miraculously heal some of us at different times and in different ways. In other times, we pray for a miracle and it doesn't always come. But we are praising God not for a physical healing, but a healing that no doctor could cure, no amount of rest or water could take care of, no matter how much you elevate your feet, no matter how many times you get 8+ hours of sleep, taking your good vitamins, listening to the doctor, listening to your wife or your husband. Nothing can heal that which only God can heal. Follow on the way. Trust in what Jesus has to say. He says, I am the way and the truth and the life. Those who believe in him will not perish but have eternal life. The last things we get from this story, this accounting of what happened, in verse 19. Jesus said to him, rise and go your way. Your faith has made you well. That word has made you well, again, using Greek, it's very exciting, is the same word used back in Luke chapter 7, verse 50. In Luke 7, verse 50, we get to hear the word that's based off of sozo, which is often translated as saved. Your faith has saved you. In Luke 7, it's a sinful woman forgiven. The Pharisees are there, and Jesus is there, and sure enough, this woman who is kissing the feet of Jesus is pouring oil on his feet. Someone who is literally in the way of Jesus where his feet are pointing. praising and thanking him. When everyone else would say, "Who is this person? Who is this sinner? Why would you even let her be here with you?" He says to the woman, "Your faith has saved you. Go in peace." To the newly cleansed leper, to the woman who is seen as sinful such that she shouldn't be in the company of the Pharisees, to you and to me, when we fall at the feet of Jesus, when we praise him and thank him for his great work for us, when we are walking in his way, he says to you, "Rise, your faith has saved you." You can translate it as "made you well." That's fine. I won't fault the ESV for doing that. But the faith you have in Jesus has made you well in your soul, and it has saved you. That same faith that God has given you as a great gift. Don't forget where it came from. Don't forget how great it is. When you remember how wonderful it is that you are indeed saved from sin and the power of death and the devil, do what you're doing right now. Return to God. Return in prayer. As Marty said for our children's lesson earlier, you can pray wherever you are and whenever it is, and your Lord will hear you. Come to God in thankfulness and praise. And know that your faith has made you well. And may the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, guard and keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus to life everlasting. Amen. Let us proclaim the mystery of our faith. Christ has died. Christ has risen. Christ will come again. And may the Lord bless you and keep you. May he make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. May he look on you with favor and give you his peace. Amen. Now go in peace and serve the Lord.